Well, hey, good evening. Bless you guys. It's really is a treat to be here. And I was here about 2.5 years ago, I think it was. That was BC, before COVID. And now hopefully it's AD, right? After death of COVID. And it really is a joy to be here. And thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me. For those that are not aware, I've as a family, we've been living in California for 16 years, and we are Kiwis, as we're introduced, and we've just made a decision at the end of towards the middle of last year to move back to New Zealand. So we have migrated back, and we've been living in just north of Auckland since early February, and we came to New Zealand with marching orders from the Lord. The Lord told us very, very clearly that we are to go, but he didn't tell us what to do. And so we came back just out of a pure step of obedience. He also told us to do nothing for 4 months, and we did nothing for 4 months, and it was really about the end of 4 months that the Lord spoke really clearly to us about what to do, and through a dream and through insight and through a prophetic word as well. And the Lord told us to release the healers. He said, it's time to release the healers. And I really do believe that the Lord wants to see the greatest healing movement that Australia and New Zealand has ever seen. And so I said to the Lord that day when he said, release the healers, I said to him, what do you mean? What exactly does that look like? And he said, don't look for a hungry church, look for hungry people. And I realized there's a lot of hungry people out there. And but I only knew of 4 people in New Zealand that are walking in power on a daily basis. So I reached out to those 4 people and said, I just really feel like the Lord is wanting to me to pour into your life. And I want to create a gathering in my house. I want you to come to my house and sit on my couch. And we want to talk how we can take our nation and how we can see the greatest healing movement in New Zealand that's ever been seen. And I said, if you know someone that's as hungry as you are, I said, you're welcome to bring them. I said, just email me first so I know how many to expect. And lo and behold, I had 850 people email back. It kind of went out like wildfire. And so we put on a gathering just a couple of weeks ago to begin to gather them, gather the hungry. And we had 450 people show up for that from all over the country with 100 on a wait list to get in. The building could only take 450. And we're just seeing some amazing breakthrough. And we're seeing amazing breakthrough since we got here to Australia. We saw a man with a detached retina in Gosford the other night. Surgery couldn't fix him. And he was blind in one eye, and his eye opened up. And he was fully able to, he received his healing. And we saw a man in Port Stevens who had been suffering from seizures and were unable to speak, and he grabbed the microphone and began to share his testimony that he's now able to speak. And we saw a young lady Friday night in Newcastle who had driven 13 hours to get to the meeting, and she had 3 cysts on her eye, and she'd been for the doctors and had been referred for surgical removal. And during the meeting she was prayed for, one fell off on the end of her finger. And the other two just completely disappeared. She didn't know where those two went, but the one fell off on her finger and the other two disappeared. And that's the father that we serve. He really is a good father. And so it's just a joy to be partnering with heaven to see. I'm just really after one thing. I'm after one thing in this season of my life, and that is really replicating and duplicating myself and going after healing. I just want to see people healed, and I want to see people come into who God made them to be. Because this is not a revival of the man of God. This is a revival of the God of man, that every single one of us gets to participate. It is about us doing the work. It is about us knowing who we are. It is about us bringing healing power to people in the world that so desperately need his touch. Amen? So over the COVID season, it was we're not going to go into all the details, but obviously, you know, there wasn't a lot of travel since I left you guys last, and I've been sitting in California, and I've been fishing a lot as well, and having a lot of fun, and with my family and my wife, and but sometimes God is more interested in what he does in you than what he does through you, and it was just a real deep season for me. of God just really working some stuff out of my life and really giving me some revelation and some insight. And over that season, I sat down and decided one day, because the Lord told me to write my next book, and I told him I didn't want to. And God loves to negotiate. He always wins. But I told him I didn't want to. And I told him at that point, I don't have my computer on me. I was on a plane. And he said, I didn't ask you whether you had your computer. I asked you to write a book. And so I pulled out my iPad, which I don't like typing on. And I began to write this book. And by the time I landed from Florida to San Francisco, 25% of the book is written. And within 6 days, the book was finished. And so that came out. It's at the back there. It's called Apprehended Identity, Taking Back What Was Stolen. And I have such a passion for believers coming into the identity that Jesus says that you are. And it's in that place that we come into our identity. It's going to be those people that are going to be the ones that get the reward that Jesus paid for. He paid way too high a price just for us to do church. And so this is what I'm after. I'm after the true identity of the believer, which I am discovering that most people don't understand really who they are. And this is really bringing insight into this. Now, I do need to say this is that because I left America on 31st of January, and I've been back since for a couple of weeks, if I am in America for more than 35 days a year, I have to pay tax to America. So I'm a tax citizen of the United States, though I'm a citizen of New Zealand, right? It's kind of complex, but my accountants told me I'm doing the right thing, and they told me what to do. I'm just like, yes, sir. No, sir. Three bags full, sir. Just keep me out of jail. And so that means that when I sell books, it goes through my iPad system, and I charge you in US dollars, which makes it cheaper than Australian dollars, right, on Amazon. So, but you will be charged in US dollars for the book, and it comes through at like $22 on $22 Australian versus like $25, I think it is, on Amazon. All right, let's jump in. You know, I was just I never really go somewhere thinking, well, I've just got, you know, 104 messages. What message will I pull out of the bag? And I go somewhere thinking kind of like, you know, I want to see the hunger in the room and just see where the room's at, or see where the people are at. And just someone asked me a very profound question at the back. It's like, can I ask you what's going through your mind when you come into a meeting? And I thought it's a very profound question, because what's going through my mind is really like God's heart for his people. It's like, God, what do you have for these people? I'm not questioning, God, do you want to heal these people? Right? That's a done deal in heaven, right? That's never a question. I never have to question that. But I am thinking, God, what can I best deposit in the time that we've got left, or the time that we have tonight? And I was just standing back there, and I was thinking about, you know, what really can I deposit? You know, one of the biggest things that I see in the church today, being a minister now for full-time pulpit ministry now for 22 years, one of the biggest things that I see in the body and particularly in New Zealand and Australia is that we're very performance orientated, and healing doesn't come by our performance. It comes by his performance. And there's a story in the scripture, and we see that once a year on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would come into the Holy Holies, and he'd come into that Holy Holies, and he would sprinkle on the mercy seat the blood of an animal that had been sacrificed. And we see that there'd be two cherubim on the mercy seat that stood as guardians, and they stood over righteousness and over holiness. And it's representing God's eyes too, as they look on the blood of the mercy seat. Now, as long as the blood was there, the nation of Israel was forgiven. Right? Now, the Day of Atonement was a very special day. The priest didn't wake up in the morning and just decide, oh, today I'll do the Day of Atonement. I mean, it was months and months of preparation that went into this one event. Now, the priest, the high priest, he'd go into that place of the Holy of Holies, and he'd bring the gift. He'd bring a gift, but that gift needed to be a perfect gift, right? That gift needed to be without blemish. He needed to be without blemish. He had to wear particular clothing to make sure that he didn't sweat, because you couldn't come into the Holy of Holies and sweat. And because we know that Israel was blessed if the gift was perfect. Now, I know the Bible doesn't say what happened if the gift wasn't perfect. I would hate to think. I guess they missed out on their blessing for that year until the following year of atonement. But yet, see, the priest would go into that Holy of Holies and he'd present the perfect gift. But yet today we take that same concept and we think it's about our perfect gift. We think it's about our perfection. We think it's about what we do. And there is so much misconception in the healing ministry that most believers would think that healing depends upon your perfection. It depends on what you have done or what you haven't done as to whether you're worthy enough or whether you're not worthy enough or whether you deserve it. And it's like, and it really boils down to our perfection. But if it comes down to our perfection, we don't actually need Christ. See, under the new covenant, it all changed. Because our high priest, Jesus Christ, walked into the Holy of Holies, and it wasn't an annual event. He walked into the Holy of Holies as a one-off gift, as the perfect, unblemished gift. He walked into the Holy of Holies. He paid the price for our sins. He paid the price for our sickness. He took upon himself our shame. He took upon himself our guilt. He took upon himself our condemnation, that we can be blessed. See, this is actually about Jesus. It's not about our performance. And I'm standing there at the back of the church, and I opened up my Bible, and I just began to read a passage that I so love, and I've frequented reading this particular passage over the years, and it's in Matthew chapter 15, and it says this: "And Jesus went out from there, and he departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region, and she cried out, saying, 'Lord, have mercy on me, O son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" Lord, have mercy on me, O son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed. Now, the next verse is an interesting verse, but it's a verse I never liked. And just being honest with you, I'm like, I don't like that verse. I think I might cross it out. Then I read the back of the book, right? And it says, you can't do that. So put it back in, you know. But the very next verse says, he answered her not a word. He answered her not a word. Now, Jesus is our role model. Jesus is my supreme role model for ministry. He is our role model. He is my only role model for ministry. I don't say this in a dishonoring way. Bill Johnson is not my role model. Jesus Christ is my only supreme role model for ministry, because he's the only one that everyone that came to him without exception was healed. Full stop. He's the only one. See, Hebrews 1:3 says, he, referring to Jesus, is the exact representation of the Father. He is the exact representation of the Father. See, if we want to know what the Father's like, we need to look at the person of Jesus. And when we look at the person of Jesus, we see in the person of Jesus that he never created a, what did you get here, tornadoes? Cyclones, that's the word I was looking for, thank you. He never created a cyclone. He never blessed an earthquake. And he never put sickness upon somebody to teach them a lesson. See, what we see in the person of Jesus is that every storm he came into, he calmed. Every sick person that came to him, he healed. Every funeral he went to, he messed it up, including his own. See, God didn't send sickness to teach us a lesson. He sent Jesus Christ to teach sickness a lesson. See, how many of us would want to know what the Father's like? I do. I'm like, Father, I need to know your heart more. But if we want to know what the Father looks like, the Bible says he, is the exact representation of the Father. So when we look at the person of Jesus, we see the exact representation of the Father. Now, I know that there's lots of misunderstandings of our perspective, of our limit of understanding of the Old Covenant. But everything in the Old Covenant of the image of the Father was pointing to a need that we need a Savior. And Jesus comes along and he is their Savior. See, it's actually about Jesus. I mean, here's a thought before I move on. How was sickness ever meant to make us like Jesus when Jesus was never sick? I have such a passion to see correct healing theology put back into the church because I refuse to pull the Word of God down to my experience. I'm going to lift the Word of God to my experience as Jesus as my only supreme role model. That's what I'm aiming for. I'm dreaming of the day that everybody that comes to the body, us, would be healed. And I believe the day's coming. I believe the day's coming. I believe the day is coming. But the more that we learn who we are, the more that we will see. So we go back to our story here in Matthew chapter 14. And behold, a woman came from that region and she cries out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." I'm sorry, "Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David." I said it around the wrong way. "Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon possessed." But the next verse says, "He answered her not a word." Now, that doesn't sound like the Jesus I was just talking about, that everybody that came to him without exception was healed. Everyone. There is no exception. Everyone that came to Jesus got what they want, what they needed. Everyone. It should be the normal expression of the believer's life to have answers to their prayers. The normal expression, not the exception. The normal expression. I write about that in Apprehended Identity. The normal expression of a believer's life to have answers to their prayers. So the question would be is, why didn't Jesus answer her a word? A few years ago, I've been in church for a while. I've been a lot of church services over my life. And I'm not preaching every Sunday. But, you know, I have opportunity to sit under ministry as well. I mean, a few years ago, sitting in church, I heard somebody preaching out of this verse. And they said, you know, why didn't Jesus answer her a word? And then they answered it. And they said, Jesus never answered the woman a word because Jesus wanted to see how desperate we are for healing. How desperate are you for healing? And everything in me was just screaming. It's just like, I feel like throwing a tomato at him. I'm like, heretic. That's just so not right. Because if it was our desperation that moved the heart of heaven, if it was our desperation that saw the arm of God move, wouldn't we all be healed? I mean, if it was desperation that moved God, there'd be no hunger in the world because everybody would be fed because everybody's been desperate. All that desperation does is lead us to frustration, and frustration leads us to unbelief. And then he said, then he went on and he said, well, perhaps that Jesus never heard her. I'm like, well, that's not scriptural either, because if we read on, we obviously can see that Jesus heard her, because the disciples, they turn to Jesus and they say, Jesus, she calls out after us, shall we send her away? And we can see that Jesus, in Jesus' response, we could see that Jesus heard her. So the question would be is, why then didn't Jesus heal her when she calls out? Now that is the question. Now that is something that I sat on for many years and I pondered and I didn't like, and I don't mind wrestling with scripture. There's things I don't understand and I'll wrestle with it until I kind of work it out. I've discovered it's not that it's wrong. It's there for a purpose for me to discover. It's for me to dig out. And I finally got it because it says here, O Son of David, O Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is severely demon possessed. Who is this woman? She's a Canaanite. She's not a Jewish woman. She's a Canaanite woman. And she comes to Jesus and she calls him Son of David, but you can't call him the Son of David if you're a Canaanite. You call him the Son of David if you're a Jew. So therefore, she was operating out of a spirit of entitlement, pretending that she was somebody that she wasn't to get something that she wanted. If I can make him believe I'm a Jew, we know the following scriptures that he came to heal the Jews. So therefore, if I can make him think I'm a Jew, I'm going to get what I want. If I can pretend I'm a Jew because he thinks I'm going to be a Jew, so I'll call him the Son of David. He'll think I'm a Jew and I'm going to get what I want. And he answered her not a word. Why? Because Jesus doesn't want us coming under the spirit of performance or the spirit of entitlement. He wants us coming to him under the spirit of humility. See, humility, I believe that there's a direct link between the amount of power that we walk in and the amount of humility that we walk in. Humility, I could give a whole message on humility, which is not so much the point tonight, but there's a direct link between power and humility. And the more that we see in life, the lower I go, and the more I realize it's actually about him. It's about him in me. It's about him through me. It's about him in you. And it's about him through you, because it's actually about Jesus. See, it's a fascinating story. I'll pull out a couple of other pieces of gold and I'll tell a story and we'll pray. Because it also goes on here to say, we know that the woman gets healed. And verse 28, and Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Great is your faith." There's actually only one other reference in Scripture where Jesus acknowledges the great faith, where he says there's times where he acknowledges faith, but there's actually only one other passage in the New Covenant where he acknowledges great faith, and that's the Roman centurion. See, what's the common denominator between this Canaanite woman and the Roman centurion? The common denominator is neither of them are Jews. They're both Gentiles. So therefore, they wouldn't have known the law, because there's 612 laws under Jewish law and they don't know the law. So perhaps faith grows in an environment where we don't know the law because we don't behave ourselves into a miracle. But yet the church is trying to behave themselves into a miracle because we think it's about us. And we think it's about what we've done, and we think it's about what we haven't done. Now, if you think, I need to add on this little line, because if you think I just said, "Oh my gosh, he's advocating I can go and live how I like," that's just a spirit of stupid. I mean, that's not what I said. Meet me out the back after and I'll slap it off you. that's not what I said, right? Well, Craig will meet you out the back later and slap the spirit of stupid off you. With love. And a few years ago, Pastor Randy Clark, I don't know if you know Pastor Randy Clark, he's a father of my life, and I'm on the faculty in Harrisburg. It is at his college. I'm on the teaching faculty, and I go over there. Actually, Pastor Randy has invited me in to do, this is a story of redemption. It's a little sideline, but I left school the day I was 15. I don't have a bachelor's in anything, and he's invited me into the master's program with an intent to go on to do a PhD. And I think it's just the redemption side of God. I mean, it's going to be amazing. I really looking at doing it. I've just got to get a couple things under my belt first, a couple things sorted out at home, and want to look at doing that. But I think Dr. Gore just sounds good, right? It's kind of a ring to it, Dr. Gore. You just better hope I'm not a medical doctor. And Dr. Gore, you don't want to see Dr. Gore in the hospital. So if a number of years ago, I was flying to New Zealand. And I took my daughter with me. And my daughter was younger. She doesn't live with us now. She's an adult. She lives in Nashville, Tennessee. She works for a renowned plastic surgeon. she texted me and she goes, "Dad, I can get you a family discount." I'm like, "Thanks. What are you suggesting?" So we fly to New Zealand, and this is where this message of understanding humility and the link to humility of recognizing that it's not about our performance, it's about His performance, that he absolutely just drove something home with me. See, I fly a lot. Right before COVID, this was probably my last meeting before I departed. It was my last big trip, BC, right? And it's my first big trip, AD. And so I flew a lot. And in that particular year, I'd preached 500 times the year before, right? 500 times in the 12 months before. And I flew 510,000 kilometers in that 1 year. Right, now I fly Star Alliance, right, which includes United Air New Zealand and Singapore Airlines and others. I'm always in a plane. So I fly to New Zealand and I take my daughter because my daughter's great grandparents live in New Zealand. They've just recently passed away. They passed away during COVID, not of COVID. Right? They passed away of old age. 95 and 98. I got to FaceTime with my grandmother as a 98-year-old just before she passed away. It's like she's granny of the universe. She can't remember my name, but she's like, "You've got Fairy Grey." So we fly into Auckland Airport, and they live in the top of the South Island, and we take a domestic flight. And we land at Auckland Airport, and we transfer to domestic airport. Now, I fly a lot. I'm in the million mile club with Star Alliance, right? I've flown over a million real miles, not just award miles, like real miles. You know, sometimes you give double miles for a flight or whatever. That doesn't count. I'm talking real miles in the air. I'm at like 1.4 million on Star Alliance. So I have privileges, right? I have privileges to, I'm allowed into the Air New Zealand lounge anywhere in the world. I'm allowed into any lounge anywhere in the world, providing as part of Star Alliance. I don't have to pay for that. I have, at one point, I had so many miles, I had enough to lap around the world 25 times, right, on reward miles. I gave them all away, right? I give them all away. My daughters like to take vacations. I give them to my daughters, I give them to my wife. I gave them all away. And so we land in Auckland Airport, and we switch to the domestic airport. And in the domestic airport, I go into the Air New Zealand lounge. Now, I'd flown in on United, so I didn't really know my status, right? I knew my status. I didn't know I'm with another airline now. As a part of Star Alliance, I don't know whether I'm allowed. I know I'm allowed in, right? There's no question. I know I'm allowed in, but I don't know whether my daughter's allowed in. So I go to ask at the counter as to whether my daughter's allowed into the lounge. And as I walk up to the lounge, I know I've got status. I know I spend half my life in a plane. I know I've got a million miles under my belt. I know there's no question I'm allowed in there. But if she's not allowed in there, I'm not going to go in there. I'm obviously not going to leave her and say, "I'm off for some nice food. See you later. I'll see you at the gate." Of course, I'm not going to do that. I'm a father. And I walk into the lounge, and I go to put my boarding pass on the scanner, you know, that scans you in. And it turns green, and the lady says, "Oh, Mr. Gore," you know, they know who you are. "Mr. Gore, welcome to Coral Club New Zealand." And I said, "Thank you very much," you know. And I walk in, and I went to open my mouth to say, "This is my daughter. Is she allowed access?" Right? Because I don't know if I'm allowed a companion. And when I went to open my mouth, the Lord says, "Close your mouth and keep walking." He says, "Walk boldly," right? Now, there's another whole message there, boldly to the throne, Hebrews 4:16, right? We're not going to talk about that tonight. And I walk boldly into the club. Now, I'm a father, right? I'm a father. I'm very protective of my daughters. I know this is going to upset some of you, but I used to have a .45 under my bed, just in case. I'm not allowed that in New Zealand, but My daughter went on a date one day with a young man, and he came to my house, and I wouldn't let any guy take out my daughter if he parks out the front and honks the horn. I'm like, I'll go out and tell him to make them come in. I want to meet them. And he comes in and he meets me and said, "Nice to meet you." I said, "You have a great night, won't you?" And he said, "Yes, I will." And I said, "Don't you be late, will you?" I said, no, sir, I won't." And I'm like, "Just if you don't mind, I'm just going to take your photo so I can remember what you look like when I hunt you down." True story. Never saw him again. It's a true story. You ask my daughter, it's a very true story. My wife couldn't believe it. She's like, "The photo's still on there. It's somewhere, just in case." The Lord says, walk boldly into the club. And I'm having this conversation with the Lord, like, but, you know, I'm the protective father. It's like, what about my daughter? And he says, walk boldly into the club. Don't worry about your daughter. I'm about to teach you a lesson. I said, okay. Now, I slow down, right? And he said to me, and don't look back. I dare not look back. I mean, don't want to turn into a pillar of salt. I do slow down, right? I slow right down, and my ears turn backwards. I'm trying to listen, and I can hear my daughter pull out a boarding pass, and she puts it on the thing, and I don't see it, but I can hear this. If I had eyes in the back, I would see it gone red, not green, right? And the lady goes, "Hey, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, young lady. You don't actually have access to this club. Now, do you not think I want to fix this? Do you not want to think I want to jump on her and say, excuse me, I spend $50,000 a year flying with Star Alliance. She will come into this club." You know, like, the Lord says, shut your mouth. And I hear my daughter say, because the Lord's saying, I'm going to teach you a lesson. And I hear my daughter say, oh, but that's my dad. And the lady goes, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. I didn't realize he's your father. Welcome to Coral Club New Zealand. And I'm like, wow, I tell you, I learned such a lesson, because my daughter didn't access that Coral Club membership lounge because of the amount of time she spends in a plane, because she hardly flies. My daughter doesn't spend $50,000 a year on air flights. She spends nothing on air flights. Actually, her best friend works for United, so she gets her air flights for free wherever she goes. I need to become friends with that girl. My daughter gets full access to that club, not because she paid for it, but because I paid for it. It's because I spend half of my life in a plane. I spend $50,000 a year on airline costs. I've flown over 1 million miles flying with Star Alliance. I'm the one that's paid the price. See, she doesn't get into that club based on what she's paid for. She gets into that club based on what I've paid for. And the Lord says, that's how the kingdom works. It's called the spirit of humility. See, we don't get healed because of what we've done right. And we don't not get healed because of what we've done wrong. How do we get healed? We just stay close to the Father. Because when you stay close to the Father, it becomes about his performance and not about your performance. It's about what he's paid for, not what you've paid for. But yet the church is busy trying to earn validation. The church is busy trying to earn healing, thinking it's about our performance. See, I burn there's just, there's several things that I so burn for, but I burn to see the performance barrier knocked down in the church. And I burn to see the name of Jesus put back in the church. And I burn to see a church that would come back to talking about the cross. And I burn to see a church that would begin to talk about Jesus again. I don't know about you, but I don't want to go to talk. I don't want to go to church to hear a TED talk. I don't want to go to church on a Sunday to put the tick in the box. I only want to go to church to one thing, to hear the name of Jesus. I want to go to church to hear about the cross. I want to go to church to hear about my Savior. I want to go to church to hear about who He is. I want to go to church to hear about who He is in me and who I am in Him. I want to go to church to talk about the absolute victory of the cross, because we have a nation that needs transforming. We've got a city that needs transforming. And I cannot transform that city by sitting under and listening to a self-help message on a TED talk, which so many churches give. It's time that we come back, that we start talking about the bloody cross of Christ again. And I don't say that in a cuss way, but if you take it that way, bloody's not a bad word in America. Bloody, bloody, bloody cross. Let's talk about the bloody cross of Christ, the cross of Christ that is saturated with the blood of Jesus for each one of us, that we can get what He paid for. I tell you, we are living in a day. We are living in a day that I believe that we need a move of God. We need a fresh move of God. God's always moving. It's not that He hasn't been moving, but I think that the believers have mostly fallen asleep. I think that we've fallen asleep because of isolation. We've fallen asleep because of, you know, we haven't been gathering. I don't know what it was like here, whether you're allowed to do church or not. It's, you know, I had that season of just being stuck at home. And I believe that we're going to see such extraordinary miracles over this next season of life that there needs to be an equipping of the saints here and now to contain what's about to hit. And the miracles are going to be so profound that it's going to be the goodness of God that's going to cause people to repent. It's not our repentance that brings His goodness. It's not biblical. It's His goodness that brings us to repentance. See, what would it look like if we as believers began to arise and recognize and allowed something to well up in us, and we started to get hungry for a fresh move of God? See, my question to us this evening is how hungry are you? It's not desperation that brings the kingdom, but how hungry are you? Desperation just leads to frustration. Frustration leads to unbelief, and unbelief leads to out the door. See, how hungry are we? Jesus said, let those that have come to me, those that are hungry, come to me. You will never thirst again. He doesn't say you'll never drink again. It's time that we come to the fountain. It's time that we come to the fountain of the Lord and we begin to eat again. It's time we come to the fountain and we begin to drink again. See, in the natural, when you eat, you get full. But that's not how the kingdom works. In the kingdom, the more you eat, the hungrier you get. See, how hungry are we? How hungry are we to see a move of God in this nation? See, I burn for revival, Pastor. I burn for revival. It's just what I'm after. I burn for revival. It's just something in me. It's like I absolutely burn for revival. And I'll close with this thought. I had to have a subfloor ripped out of my house. We bought a new house and it was just a disaster, right? It's just everything about it was a disaster. And I had to have the subfloor ripped out in the bathroom. It was a very expensive job because it was on a concrete slab, and to have the whole floor taken down a couple of inches and relaid and all the rest of it. And the tiler walks into my house on the last day, the tiler that I appointed to do the job. And he walks into my house on the last day and he says to me, he says, Chris, he said, the Lord spoke to me last night and told me to give you a message. And I'm like, all right. I said, and the message is? And he said, the Lord told me to tell you, if revival is not your responsibility, then whose is it? I tell you, it's, it felt like someone took a six-foot sword and put it right through me. Not in a painful way, in a healing way. Because I think for too long, revival has been either waiting for the sovereignty of God or we push it to the next generation. And he said, revival is not your responsibility, then whose is it? Whose responsibility is it if it's not yours? And something awoken me. Something so awoken me when that sword went through me that I realized that we need to stop as a body waiting for revival because we are revival. It's about getting our hearts on fire, sitting under the fountain of God's grace, learning to eat and learning to drink, to let ourselves burn, to say, God, it is not acceptable for me that somebody comes to me for healing and they don't get healed because you are my supreme role model and I am in you and you're in me. I want us to stand together. I believe with all my heart that it's just time to have revival. Now, let me just preface it with this. Some of you, you know, you mentioned, I'm kind of scared of the word revival, right? It kind of like freaks me out, that word. It's like, because when I say revival, some of you are like, what does that mean? Does that mean we've got to come to church every night? Oh God, I hope not. Like if I had to go to church every night, I wouldn't be married. My wife would leave me, right? And some of us like, what does revival mean then? It's like, does revival mean I got to line up to get into church for 4 hours? I hope not. I'd rather be fishing for 4 hours, save that time, and just show up at church. It's like, well, what's revival? See, I burn for revival, but we all have conceptions in our hearts of what we think revival is. See, I don't think that sustainable revival is long meetings. I don't think sustainable revival is meeting every night. I don't think sustainable revival is lining up to church for 12 hours, which I've done. I've lined up 12 hours for 7 days straight just to get into a meeting. You needed to hope you didn't need to go to the bathroom. I mean, it's like you're just lining up for 12 hours on a pavement to get into a meeting. See, I'm not saying those things are bad. That's not sustainable revival. See, sustainable revival for me is me putting my heart on fire and deciding that as for me and my house, we're going to have revival because we are revival because the Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me and He wants out. It's me recognizing who I am, whose I am, whom I'm in, and who's in me. I think it's time that this city sees the goodness of God. It's to an agreement. I think it's time that this city, I think it's time that New South Wales sees a fresh move of God. I think it's time. I'll make this declaration. Australia will be saved. I have come back to New Zealand, not necessarily because I wanted. That's a longer story. I came back because the Lord told me to come back. And He told me to turn most of my attention to New Zealand and Australia. Because I believe that it's a concern of the Lord's heart that I don't know so much about Australia, but I'm speaking from a New Zealand perspective of the humanistic nature this country has become. When I say this country, I mean New Zealand. Maybe this is just as humanistic. that we've put man at the center, and it's time to put Jesus Christ back at the center. And that's going to happen by people like you and people like me. I am not the answer to your city. It's Christ in you that's the answer to the city. It's us rising up. It's us saying, enough is enough. It's time to stand. It's time to get the sick healed. It's time to love on people. It's time to see breakthrough. It's time that we have a healing revival. And I tell you, when we set ourselves on fire, I believe that we're going to see the greatest healing move this nation has ever seen. I want you to put your hand on someone next to you. I felt tonight, I got so much in my heart. I mean, gosh, I'm a preacher. I preach the eternal gospel. I tell people I've only got one message. It's called the gospel. It's just really, really long. It's just a matter of what piece you get. But I really felt tonight just to bring a simple message. To me, it feels like it's what the church needs. Sometimes we get, you know, I think it was Spurgeon that said, the great preacher Spurgeon, he said, I'm not teaching you a new revelation. I'm just teaching you the ones you've already forgotten. And I just felt tonight to bring this simple message. So I can go as deep as you want. I got a lot sitting in my heart. I got a lot that I can preach on. But it boils back to one thing. Jesus. See, I just believe tonight, we'll pray for the sick. I know some of you have come for ministry. It's like, we'll pray for the sick. But I'd rather see an infilling of the Holy Spirit. Because if we can see a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit can come and touch us afresh. I haven't just healed someone. I've created a healer. I'm beginning that's what's on my heart in this season. I need to replicate myself. I need to replicate myself as fast as I can. I feel I've got a 20-year window to replicate myself as fast as I can. Because I can't maintain the level of travel I've been doing for the last 14 years of flying 500,000 kilometers a year. I can't keep doing it. It's too hard on my body. It's like my brother just commented on my Facebook. He's like, dude, you got so gray. He's older than me. He ain't got a gray hair. I'm like, I wonder why. I responded back. I'm like, this is my older brother that made me go gray. I want us to begin to pray. I want you to pray for the person on your left and your right that there's just going to be a fresh infilling of the power of the Holy Spirit, because that infilling of the Holy Spirit was never meant to be a one-off filling. It's meant to be a daily experience that we're constantly filled afresh with the power of the Holy Spirit. I want you to lift your voice. I want you to begin to pray. This church is called Overflow for a reason, because we should be overflowing with the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, because that's how we're going to see this nation. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. I want you to pray for a fresh and filling. Just pray something. Pray something really scary over them. Pray that God is going to use them. Pray for them like you'd want them to pray for you. You pray for them. Pray that God would use them in an extraordinary, extraordinary measure to see power in their house, to see power in their street, to see power in the city or the city that they're from. Just ask the Lord to come and fill them afresh. Fill them with His power. Fill them with His presence. Fill us, Father. I tell you, there's not many places in Scripture that the Father's in a hurry, but I tell you where He is in a hurry, when He comes into the upper room like a mighty rushing wind because He wants to fill His kids. We need to be people that operate out of the overflow of God, of what He's put in us. Father, I pray that You will come like a mighty rushing wind, that You would come into this place, Father, and that You would touch us, Father, that You would fill us, that the river of the living God would flow to every barren place that's in our lives, that You would fill us afresh tonight with Your purpose and with Your power, Father, and with Your presence. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come in power right now. Come on, lift your voice. Lift your voice. Just pray something bold over them. Just pray for a fresh touch. Come on, some of you need to just take a big drink. You need to take a big drink. Some of you need to, why don't you just put your hand on your own heart? I want you to begin to pray for yourself. Begin to pray for yourself. Father, come, fill me, touch me, use me. Yeah, more, Lord, more. God, that's our cry. Father, I need more of You. Open my eyes, Father, to the reality of what's available to me. Father, we need You more. We need You more. We need You more. We need You more, God. Father, we need Your touch. Father, we need Your presence. We need You to come and fill us and refresh us, Lord God. Come on, let's ride across this room. Let's lift our hands. Can we lift our hands to heaven? Let's lift our hands to heaven. It's just like an act of surrender. Sometimes He's just looking for our surrender. He's not looking for how much we know or what we think we know. He's just looking for our surrender. And when we put our hands up and we say, Father, I surrender. Use me. He's like, that's all I need. He's just looking for a surrendered life. How surrendered are we tonight? How surrendered are we that say, Lord, have Your way. Have Your way in me. Have Your way through me. Have Your way in me that we can see Madawi impacted with the power of the gospel. More, Lord. More, Lord. Can You lead us in something? Come on, let's just spend a minute in worship. Let's just keep our hands before the Lord in a posture of surrender. Come on, can we just worship Jesus for a minute?
Who I am.
engage. Come on, let's lift our voice.
Tender whisper of love within the dead of night, you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good,
good Father.
It's who you are. It's who you are.
Come on, let's declare this over the city. You're a good, good Father. Let's declare it.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
Let's declare it over our own lives.
It's who you are.
Come on, let's declare this over Australia. That you're a good, good Father.
It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am.
You know, our faith can only extend to the understanding of our goodness of the Father. See, how good do you think He is? How good do you think our Heavenly Father is? I'm actually quite convinced that so much of the churches living in this unbalanced place. And we wonder why we're unbalanced. It's like, I think in most cases we've done a pretty good job at teaching Jesus. And we've got like one leg on our stool. The leg of Jesus is an important leg to have on our stool. And then but a stool's never created for one leg. It needs more than one. See, the second leg, I'd say, it's like the Holy Spirit. You know, most churches do a pretty good job of teaching on the Holy Spirit. And we've got two legs on our stool, and we wonder why we're so imbalanced. Perhaps we're imbalanced because we're not talking about this third leg on the stool. I'm not talking about God. I'm talking about the heart of the Father. There's three places in Scripture that I'm aware of where it references Him as Abba Father. It's the most adoring thing you can call Him. Abba Father. Which is an original Aramaic word that they didn't even translate out of Aramaic and transferred it into English as Abba Father. See, how good do you think He is? See, we would never need to discuss the theology of healing if we actually had a revelation of the heart of the Father. Because if we had a revelation of the heart of the Father, we'd represent Him. See, what father would want his kid to have sickness? I mean, if I treated my kids the same way that some of the church thinks that God treats us, whatever you call it here, child protection services, would show up and take my kids away. See, He's a good father. He's a really good father. He desires to fill His kids. He desires to heal His kids. He desires to restore His kids. That's the redemptive nature of God. This is not what I was planning on tonight. We're going to minister the sick. I just want to flow. I don't think God's done. If you're done, you can go home. I'm not. And I don't think He is. I want to pray for some people tonight. We'll minister the sick. Don't panic. We'll get there. It's just that I think He's more interested in filling us. If it's your cry tonight, it's been your cry that God, You'd use me, that You'd use me in this city, that You'd use me in an extraordinary way. It is your cry that the expression and the nature of your heart is the expression and the nature of the Father, where You'd say, God, I want to be used in power. I want to be used in signs and wonders. I want to be used to see great things in our city. I want You to step out of Your seat and come to the front. I want to lay hands on You. Sir over there, on my right, you sir, you, right there. What is your name? Steve. You know, you're standing over there before Stephen, and I kind of look around the room, and I'm like, God, what are you doing? Like, who are You touching? And I just felt like I saw the Spirit of God just sitting on you. And I feel like there's this hunger that's burning inside you. It's like, I feel like the Lord's saying that the prayers that you've prayed and the prayers that you've sown in and the things that you've hungered for over your life, and while there might be disappointments, we've all had those. I feel like the Lord just wanted to tell you something tonight, is that you're going to see the desires of your heart manifest in this city, that you're going to see the breakthrough. I saw this hunger on you. It's like, it's a little hard to explain, but it's like I saw God sitting on you. It's just like He highlighted you. It's just like, get him. Make sure you get him. Yeah, so Father, I just pray for Steve. Father, I pray, God, that You'd use this man in a powerful way. Father, Your Spirit would come upon him in a fresh way and a powerful way. Father, that the prayers that he sowed and the tears that he sowed in the past of the things that he's desired to see and the things that he's desired to walk in, Lord, I pray that You'd redeem his time and that You'd use him, that You'd use this man, You'd use Steve in a powerful way. Holy Spirit, come and touch him. Fill him, I pray. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Why don't you just put your hand on someone that looks hungrier than you are? Come on, can we just believe tonight there's just going to be a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit? I tell you, He's not done. I'm like, you're free to go. I'm not keeping you. Let's just believe there's going to be a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can we lift something up there? Can we get a little louder on those keys? And come on, you tell him how hungry you are. Tell him how hungry you are. Say, Father, use me. Come on, let's lift our voice. Use me, Jesus. Use me, Jesus. Use me, Jesus. Use me, Jesus. Can the team that came with me in my car, can you just begin to minister through the room and begin to lay hands on people? Kylie and Gaz. You lay hands on people too. Thank you, Father. If you've got our own ministry, if there's ministry, actually, why don't you just let us minister tonight? I want your own ministry team to receive. Come on, you tell him how hungry you are. Tell him how hungry you are. Thank you, Father. Father, come in power, Lord. Father, come in power upon your people, God. Father, there'll be a fresh and filling, Lord. There'll be a fresh touch upon your people, God. Father, come in power, Lord. Come in power, Lord God. Come in power, God. Father, fill your people. Father, fill this precious one. Fill it, Lord God. Father, I pray and I declare over you the best days are the days that are ahead. The best days are the days that are ahead. Father, I pray, God, that we'll be changed tonight. We'll be changed in your presence. Change us in your presence, God. Father, we'll walk out of this place obsessed afresh by you, Lord. Come, Lord God. Come in power. Touch this young one, Lord. Touch this young one, God. Father, touch this precious one, Lord. Touch this one. Touch them, Father. Fill them afresh. Father, we need more of you. We need more of you. Come on, stir up that hunger within you. You tell him how hungry you are. You ask him, say, God, use me. He's just looking for surrender. He's just looking for someone that'll say, use me. And he'll say, okay, I'll use you. Thank you, Father. Father, touch this one, Lord. Touch this man. Father, come upon this man. Father, come upon this man. God, that you'd use this man in a powerful, 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 powerful way. More, Lord. Father, we pray for more. Father, we want to be filled. Father, we'll be filled with the joy of the Lord. Father, we'll be filled with the refreshing of the Lord God. Touch this one. Touch him with your power. Touch him with your power, Lord. Touch him with your power. More, Lord. More, more, more. More, God. More, 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 God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I saw you sitting there. You're highlighted to me right at the very start of the meeting. And I just feel like God wants to do something real fresh in you. I don't know what you've been through. It's irrelevant. But the Lord says, doesn't matter what you've been through, it's what I'm about to take you into. I feel like there's this new season that's going to come upon you. And God's going to touch you. He's going to put something in your heart. He's going to begin to burn in you afresh. That something's going to be rekindled. And that you're going to go out. It's a new day for you. It's not just a new chapter. It's a new book for you. There's a new season for you. So, Father, I pray you, Lord, that you'll come upon this one in your power, God. In your power, Lord God. Father, touch her afresh. Touch this one, God. Father, touch him, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we'll catch the heartbeat. Father, let us catch the heartbeat of heaven. Let us catch the heartbeat of heaven. Let us catch the heartbeat of heaven, Lord. The heartbeat of heaven, your heartbeat for this city. Your heartbeat for this city, God. Father, come in power, God. Father, touch these. Father, just use this man's inquisitive mind. Use this man's inquisitive mind. I really appreciated that question. It's like somebody that thinks about the heart of God. Father, touch him. Father, more. More, God. More, God. Thank you, God. Touch this precious one, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Come on, let's just push him for another minute. Come on, it's only 7:15. Jesus. More, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Thank you, Father. Fresh and filling, God. Something new. God, we don't want the same. Because you're not the same, God. You keep on bringing this new things. You keep filling us with new things. Yes, you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. But you fill us with new things. Father, fill them, Lord. Fill them, Lord. God, we want more. God, we're not complacent, God. Father, we don't want to be campers. Father, we want to be pioneers. Of pushing forward into the unfamiliar. Lord, of everything you have for us. Amen. Come on, Jesus. More, Lord. Father, touch this little huddle, God. Fill them, God. Let the Spirit of the Lord just rest upon them. Thank you, Father. Okay, here's what I want us to do. I want everyone to partner up with someone. Everyone grab a partner. That's not your husband or your wife, but just grab a partner. Something you didn't come with, grab a partner. Just why don't you introduce yourself? Tell them who you are. You don't already know. All right, are you guys ready? I want you to ask them what is it that I ask them if they need a miracle in their life. Ask them do you need a miracle in your life? You guys ready? Come on. I want you to begin to minister to that person in power. All right? Lay your hand upon them. If it's a physical miracle, I want you to begin to just declare, and I want you to pray the answer upon them right now. I want you just to command that thing off. Whatever it is in their body, whatever is going on in their life, I would just want you to begin to pray the answer right now. Make sure you take time to pray for each other. Swap over, pray for each other. Come on, pray a bold prayer. Pray a bold prayer. Don't pray, Lord, if it be your will. Don't ask God to come and do it. He told you to do it. Father, we just command bodies right now. Right now, the bodies are coming to an alignment with the way you created them to be. Father, we declare diabetes off bodies tonight. Father, we declare arthritis off bodies tonight. Father, we declare ringing in ears to cease tonight. Father, we declare, Father, deaf ears to open. Father, we declare floaters gone tonight. Father, we declare your grace will begin to flow into this room and flow through this room. Father, that our bodies would come into an alignment with how you destined and how you created us to be. Come on, pray bold, pray bold, pray a bold prayer. Just command that thing off. Treat it like it's a trespasser on their body. Make sure you pray for each other. Take turn of praying for the other one. Is there anybody here that you're unable to conceive? You want children and you can't conceive? Is there anybody here that can't conceive? Just raise your hand if you're unable to conceive and you want babies. Anybody here? Is you? Yeah. Where's your husband? Let's get him over here. Thanks, God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All right, guys. Here, I want you to put your hand towards this couple. Let's just stretch out a hand. You know, in Port Stephens, I have no idea where that is from here. Around here somewhere, right? Oh, we're in it. Oh, Nelson Bay. Oh, okay. Where was I? Nelson Bay, right? The church, C3 church the other night, right? There's a young lady there called Mal. And I was there 2.5 years ago. And I walked down off the platform and I stood in front of Mal, knowing nothing about Mal. I didn't even know her name. I know nothing. But she can't conceive. And I grabbed her hand. It was like an illustrated sermon. And I just began to minister to her as if she couldn't conceive, not knowing she couldn't. She goes home that night and got pregnant that night. I just went back. I met Mal again. She had two kids since then. So what happens when the government locks us up? Haven't got anything else to do, right? Except make babies. So Father, we thank you, Lord, that our desires are your desires. Our desires are your desires. A doctor came to my meeting a couple of years ago. And he heard a message that I preached, and his wife wasn't there, and he's from a very evangelical church. He's not into this, right? And on the way home, a friend bought him, and on the way home, he didn't say a word to the friend that bought him, and it was a pastor that bought him, and the pastor thought, oh my gosh, you know, like I've really upset him. Not a word was said, and he didn't talk to him. 5 weeks, not a word. Like he was scared, and he finally thought, I better ring him because I think Chris Gore offended him, you know. So I got to ring this guy to see that he's okay. And he rings him up and he says, hey, so how you doing? He goes, doing all right. And he says, we haven't spoken since that meeting. And he said, we didn't speak on the way home from that meeting. He goes, I'm just ring and see you're okay. And the doctor says, yeah, I am. He said, that meeting was a turning point in my life. He said, what this stuff that he shared, I've never heard spoken in church ever. He said, I had no idea that you can speak to your mountain. And he said, I had no idea that it should be the normal expression of a believer's life to have answers to their prayers. And he says, well, what do you mean? He said, my wife can't conceive. We've had two kids through IVF, but we can't afford another one. And we want another one, but it's $50,000 for IVF. And he said, I can't afford another one. He said, do you know what I did? He said, I go home and my wife's in bed. My wife's asleep. He said, I woke her up. And he goes, dear, wake up, wake up. He said, I know this is going to be really strange, but there's something I need to do. Hey, don't go there. And he said, I put my mouth on her belly and I said, in the name of Jesus, you will conceive. Obviously, there's something else that needed to happen, right? You know? He said, you call me 5 weeks later. He said, she's just missed her period. She conceived and went forward and had a baby. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put your mouth on your wife's belly. And I want you to declare in there and say, womb, you will conceive. Come on, let's declare it over him. Womb, you will conceive. Womb, you will conceive. Thanks, God. Thanks, God. If you didn't know, it does need more than that. Faith needs an action, last time I checked. Is there anybody here that has, you've got an incurable disease? Anybody here has got an incurable disease? Why don't you stand up? Doctor's giving you a bad report. Doctor can't help. Whether you're incurable or terminal, I want you raise your hand so we know who you are. All right, come on. Let's put our hands on these people. This gentleman right here, and this lady, and right here. Come on, let's gather around these people. The prophet Zechariah, he says, with shouts of grace, grace, the mountain should be removed. In 2018, on the 1st of June 2018, a lady goes to the doctor because she's passing blood from behind. And she goes to the doctor, and the doctor does a scope and discovers that she's got a tumor in her descending colon of 20 centimeters and doesn't give her any hope to live. And as she told her to go home and put her affairs in order, there's really nothing we can do. Your insides are rotten. You're going to pass away soon. And she comes, that's the 1st of June. The 22nd of June, I meet her. And it was just in a meeting similar to this, just a whole lot bigger, 1,200 people. And we asked that night, we asked for people to come forward that are terminally ill. Seven ladies came forward, including her. They all had cancer. There were seven ladies that had cancer. I don't know, it doesn't matter if you've got cancer. What do you have, ma'am? You've got blood cancer. Well, he's just the healer. It's going to be okay. And seven ladies came forward. And the church gathered around these ladies. And they began to shout, grace, grace, grace. Because the prophet Zechariah says, with shouts of grace, grace, the mountain should be removed. All seven ladies, all doctor verified, has been healed. All of them. Everyone. Now, one lady, the lady that had the tumor in her descending colon. She goes back to the doctor 2 days after. That was Friday night. She goes back on Monday and she has a scope to discover she's got a brand new bowel. Like, brand new. I got 7 pages of doctor's reports. I've got the before scope. I've got the after scope. I love that stuff. That's why my name's Gore, right? I got the internals. I can show you the tumors on my computer. I've got on my iPad. I want you to begin. It doesn't matter what the condition is. He's the healer. I want you to put your hands on these people as a church. Can we all extend our hands, like everybody link up to somebody? That we're all got our hands on these precious ones. Where the doctor says there's a bad report, we're going to believe his report. You know, I've got good news. What's your name? Lorraine. Jesus is bigger than blood cancer. He's way bigger. You know, I've never met a problem yet that's bigger than Jesus. Some of them masquerade like they are, but they're not. What is your name? Janie. What is your name? Livia. Deb. And this gentleman, you too, right? Barry. Was there anyone we missed? See, Jenny. Okay, Jenny. Okay. Here's what I want us to do. We're going to close it. We'll close in a minute. I want you, like, if you're receiving prayer, which is, those ones are called out, you're not to say anything. Okay? It's really hard. It's really, really hard to receive and give at the same time. Okay? You're on the receiving end. Okay? Say nothing. Just receive. Whatever that looks like to you. Put your hands out in front of you or whatever. Just have your mouth closed. When you receive. Ready to receive? You ready to receive? And the rest of us are going to do this. We're going to lift our voice. And we're going to begin to declare, because healing is a grace gift. Right? It's by His grace. I already told you, it's not by our performance. It's by His grace. And Barry back there. Jenny, was it? Jenny. I want you to begin to lift your voice with shouts of grace. Okay, give us a good beat on that drum for grace. 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 Come on, let's just keep on pushing it just for another few seconds. Grace. Grace. Grace, 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 grace. Come on, one big grace. Come on, let's shout grace. Father, we declare over these bodies that sickness has no power over you. That sickness has no power over you. That you have infused in your blood, the blood of Jesus Christ. Father, we declare the power of Jesus Christ over this one. Father, in the blood of Jesus Christ over Barry. And over Jenny. We're standing in for Jenny, who's not here. Over Jenny, right now, in Jesus' name. Father, in this precious one, we declare an end to the torment in these bodies right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, your healing grace will begin to flow. Your healing grace will begin to flow. Your healing grace will begin to flow. Clean blood. Clean blood. Clean blood. Lynn, wasn't it? Lynn? Lorraine. I was close. Lorraine. Clean blood, Father, we declare clean blood over Lorraine. Clean blood over Lorraine. Clean blood. Now look at me. Let's everybody look at me. We'll close with this. Jesus would often heal people. Right? Well, obviously, he always healed people, right? That kind of came out wrong. He always healed people. But then he would often say, go show yourself to the priest. What was the purpose? I'll tell you. because it was, the priest would declare and would verify the healing. So here's my point. We're in a new covenant. Who's the priest in the new covenant?
We are.
He's the high priest. We're the priest. We have the authority and we have the power to declare healing over ourselves. Whatever it is you need a miracle in your body tonight. I want you to put your hand on your body part that is affected. Whatever you need. What are you two just doing in here? I thought you'd be home by now. I want you to put your hand on the body part. Right? You got your hand on your body part that you need breakthrough in. Come on, can we just do this? I want you to open your mouth and I want you to begin to declare over your body. I want you to speak to your body. You are the priest of the new covenant. Begin to declare yourself healed. Speak to your body. Speak to your body. Now declare this with me, and then we're just going to give a great big shout of grace when we're finished, okay? You get ready to bash those drums, right? Not just yeah. I'm going to get ready to give us a big roll into it. We're going to lift up the name of Jesus and give a great big shout. I want you to declare this with me. Healing is mine. Let's do it with some conviction now. Healing is mine. Because of what Jesus paid for. Let's do it again. Healing is mine. Because of what Jesus paid for. Healing is mine. Because of what Jesus paid for. Father, I receive your healing touch in my body, through my body. God, that you'd use me, that we would see the greatest healing revival that this state has ever seen. Sickness, you have no part on my body. You have no part of my family. I declare myself a temple of the Holy Spirit. That I am and I will walk in divine health. That I will be a catalyst to revival in my city. All right, you guys ready? You ready? Come on, get those drums. Come on, let's give Jesus a great big shout of thanksgiving. Come on, let's give him a shout. Let's lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Amen. I tell you, he is looking for somebody. He is looking for somebody that will stop tolerating sickness as if it's a blessing from the Lord. There's nowhere in Scripture. It doesn't say, bless the Lord, O my soul, who gives me sickness to teach me a lesson. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, who took all my sin. Who took all my sickness. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.